Chris and Gabby are currently on their world cycling tour. We met them exactly a year ago when they joined us in the studio when they were training and preparing for their trip. They're cycling 100,000 kilometres through 67 countries across all the seven continents of the world, including Antarctica. This is all whilst raising awareness and funding for the charity Prevent Breast Cancer. This epic adventure is going to take them 7 years non-stop. There will be no planes, trains or automobiles, just their bicycles and the odd boat for when they need to cross the oceans. They're currently in their 15th country, which is Turkey, and soon to be their second continent as well. Welcome to the show, Chris and Gabby. Hi.
Hi, hello from Istanbul.
It's so great to hear from you guys. How are you?
We're doing really well, yeah.
Yeah, great.
Can't believe I've made it here.
Oh, Gabby, how are you? I have to ask, last time we saw you, you were undergoing treatment. How is everything?
Yeah, I finished my treatment finally in June 24th last year, just a few weeks before I set off, but I'm doing really well. Yeah, I'm getting fitter by the day.
Oh, that's fantastic news. That's really great. Well done. And how are you doing with the cycling?
Yeah, I'm doing good. At the beginning, it was quite difficult because it was kind of building my fitness back up and my bike was super heavy. But now my mileage is getting better, yeah, by the month, so I'm doing well and enjoying it.
So what's a typical day like for you two?
Typical day, we try and get up early, but because most of the time we're sleeping in the tent. So, yeah, we get up.
We have to pack everything away, don't we? Put the tent down, maybe do the washing up from the night before.
It takes about an hour every morning just to pack up and then get on the road.
And then we cycle all day, don't we?
Yeah, generally about eight hours a day, I think, on average, we're on the move.
Because we've got to finish before the sun goes down, obviously, because we need to find somewhere else to camp.
Mm. Have you been cycling in all types of weather?
Yeah, well, certainly when we came through the Balkans, so obviously we've just come through the winter, which has been, it was really tough because especially in the likes of, was in Montenegro, Albania, it was
thick snow, wasn't it?
Minus 15.
Lots of blizzards, winds.
And the problem is you even though you got waterproofs, because you're cycling, you still get wet. Cold. And then when you stop at the end of the day, your clothes have actually freeze. You're in the tent, everything's frozen.
Oh, my goodness. Obviously.
So it has been challenging with the weather.
Yeah.
And a few times I've been like, oh, my God, I can't do this. I've got to quit. But now when you finally get to the end of your first continent, you're like, I'm really, really pleased, you know, that we battled through the winter.
Yeah, we're through the worst of it now. But even though we arrived in Turkey just a few days ago, we expected it to be really warm weather. But again, we was faced with sub-zero temperatures.
Really?
Winds and, yeah.
Yeah, so we had to quit after about, 15 miles because it was too dangerous on the road. Because every time a lorry went past you, we really got blown off our bikes.
Oh,
even
goodness.
His weight of his bike was being blown over.
Because the roads, as you come into Turkey, it's more or less like a motorway that you're cycling on. It's the only way in. So, yeah, you're having to contend with big wagons, fast moving, very close to you.
Oh, God, it must be scary.
Yeah, it was. That was scary,
that day,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
So do you think, I mean, you say you're through the worst of it. Do you think this has been the most challenging continent for you? Do you think it will get easier from now on? Dare I say easier?
The weather probably makes it easier, doesn't it? But all through Turkey, there's lots of mountain passes, and we've had lots of mountain passes, really, I think, since we kind of set off.
We actually chose a lot of the harder routes because we do actually like cycling through the mountains because it's more scenic, more picturesque.
Mm.
We haven't made it easy on ourselves, and obviously because we're going through the mountains, that's where you're going to encounter the colder weathers. We could have made it a little bit easier. With the warmer, with the weather now picking up, we do actually prefer cycling in the hotter weather. you know, we have done it on previous tours in the past, and it is easier, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also with the mountains, of course, then you've got presumably a lot of cycling uphill, which looks so, so difficult. When I see guys doing it here in Spain, I think, how on earth are they managing it?
At the very beginning, though, for me, because of the weight of my bike and my fitness, every time I saw just a slight incline, I was like, oh, no, I can't get up there, and panicked. But now, as time's gone on, and it's like training, really, I can now get up mountain passes, but very slowly. Well, it's good fun. It's good when you get to the top and you look at the views and you go, oh, my gosh, I've made it up there. But, yeah, the weight of the bike makes it difficult, and we have got rid of a few things.
Yeah, I started off, I left the UK with a trailer, and my total weight was, with the trailer, my bike and all the bags, was 135 kilo. So I got to Pisa in Italy, and it damaged my rear wheel, the weight of the bike, of the trailer, so I had to actually packed it up and posted it back to the UK. So now my bike's weighing 100 kilos. So it's still a lot of weight, but it's everything we need to carry, because, you know, various items that we need. And Gabs's bike, 65 kilo.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's always a challenge when you're going up steep mountains.
So does it make you realise how little we need, in fact, then, if you've been able to get rid of things? Has it made you a lot more minimalistic?
Yeah, we're still carrying things that, you know, we could actually, you know, we don't actually need everything we've got, but at the moment we just persevere with it, and we think, you know, we might need it.
Yeah, because I started off with quite a lot of pots and pans and things, like a full kitchen, but now we're just down to like one pan and a bowl each and one fork each, because I just carry far too much.
Yeah, I think you've got to try and make things be multi-purpose. You can use one thing for many. It's like, for instance, we've got these fold-up chairs, which they're not the lightest of things. They're bulky. And actually, this week, we're actually
going to give them away to somebody.
You don't really need a chair. You can sit on one of your bags, really. It's, you know, or on a rock.
Oh, gosh. So what's next for you? You're finishing Turkey. You were saying to me off air, you're very near the Asian border.
Yeah, I learned this only a few weeks ago. I didn't realise that I thought Turkey was continent number two, but it's not until you get to the centre of Istanbul. You cross the water there into Asia. So we are still officially in Western Turkey, which is still classed as Europe. Yeah. So we're literally about 2 miles away from Asia. So that's
interesting. So you're saying Istanbul, the capital city, then half is in Europe and half is in Asia.
Yeah.
I think they say 5% of Turkey is Europe and the other 95% is Asia.
I didn't know that the city itself was split into two continents, though. That's impressive.
I think Istanbul does finish at the water, doesn't it?
Okay.
I'm sure.
We're not sure.
We're learning every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
About each country.
So how much of a plan is there? Do you know exactly kind of where you're going to be going each day?
We do now, because we've entered Turkey. We're on visas now, where before it was easier. We could just take our time and just plan how many miles whenever we wanted each day. But now we're on a visa, we do have to plan our route and make sure that we can get to Georgia in time. So I think we've got 3 months in Turkey.
Yeah, we might not be here that long, but
plan our routes and know our mileage.
Yeah,
because to be able to get to the border.
Because it is, you have got areas now to aim for because of the borders, you know, for entering and leaving in various countries. Yeah, we're going to be in Turkey certainly in the next couple of months. We're cycling obviously the full length of it, west to east up to Georgia. We'll be in Georgia. I don't know, again, Georgia's not too bad because there's no visa required for Georgia. And then, so we'll be there probably about a week, and then we'll enter Azerbaijan from there. Again, we've got limited time there. And then we go into
Kazakhstan,
Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan. And then we, so again, this is all on a time scale.
And I don't think too far ahead because it gets a bit scary. So I kind of think of just my next country. And then when I get there, then I think of the next country.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So you don't know, do you, any, I don't, not wanting to scare you, Gabby, but any thoughts on where you're going to be at Christmas, for example?
We think we're going to be more down south, yeah, East Asia way.
We're going to make our minds, once we come out of the stands and into China, which will be beginning of October, we can either just head straight across China. We could aim for Tibet and head into Nepal and then India. But it's up to now, we're thinking we're going to head to Southeast Asia. So we'd be in, it's probably Thailand for December.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking.
Yeah, the weather.
And it's the right time to be there, because we think if we go through Tibet, we're just going to have to endure really cold winter again, where we might be ready for some good weather at Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Why not? Absolutely. Oh, well, it's been great to catch up with you. You're doing an amazing job. How are you doing money-wise in terms of raising money for Prevent Breast Cancer?
The fundraising's going well, isn't it? It's quite difficult when you're on the road to fundraise, but we're still raising awareness for Prevent Breast Cancer. But we'd still need people to keep donating.
Yeah, it's difficult because you can't really ask people to donate. But like Gab says, we're flying the flag for Prevent Breast Cancer, and you know, we've had some interesting, you know, conversations with people about,
and we've got people back home doing fundraisers for us. So yeah, it's going well. And if people do want to donate, you can go to our website, Chris and Gab's worldcyclingtour.com, and you can read about us and read about Prevent Breast Cancer.
Fantastic. Chris and Gab's worldcyclingtour.com, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And you can find all our social media pages from the website. It's all really clear to see. You can even watch our little films we make.
Yeah, you can follow us. Yeah, Chris makes lots of good movies and films.
Yeah, you're doing a great job with all of that.
There's newsletters on there every month. We do a newsletter for the charity, which, you know, they post out to our followers. So there's all sorts on the website. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, keep in touch. I'm enjoying following your adventures. I'm right there with you in spirit.
Thanks very much.
It'll be great to catch up with you. Maybe next year, possibly in 6 months time.
Yeah, brilliant.
We'll just say hello to one of our many followers, but one in particular.
We know
she's listening, and it's Kimmy Lou and Scarlett, who live in the Lake District in the UK.
Oh, morning, Kimmy Lou and Scarlett. Thanks for listening.
And everyone else that follows us.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. It's great to catch up with you. Keep going, and well done for what you're doing. What an adventure.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
Thank you.